Once again, I desire your prayers. Have a burden upon my heart this day. Turn with me, please, to Luke, the 18th chapter. And I want to begin at the 15th verse. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a dear child, as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. What's the Savior trying to tell us here in these scriptures? We know that children are precious. When we look at the human child, of all the animal kingdom, is there anything more innocent? Is there anything more helpless? Is there anything more vulnerable than the human child? We look at animals, and many times in just a few hours from birth, they're up and running. Their eyesight is keen, and they can see for miles. But the human child isn't that way. It takes sometimes 9 months or more, some little less, some more, to get up upon their legs. A child is so vulnerable, so innocent. What is Jesus trying to say here? What's the difference? He said, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God. Do I have to put that on?
Yeah, take out.
Amen.
Make sure the switch is on. It's on the top.
This is a different one.
Yeah, it is.
Is it on?
Right, it's on.
Okay. I need your prayers. I didn't expect to be up here today. A child. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. This morning we heard a message on our need, that we need God. And I have found it true that every moment of every day I need God. You look at a child and that child needs everything. It can't do anything for itself. If we're going to come to God, I believe what Jesus is saying is we need to come just that way. To know that without Him we can do nothing. We need to come as a child with absolutely everything we need is wrapped up in God. Wrapped up in His Son, Jesus Christ. I like to say there's victory in Jesus. Because I know that any need that we have, the victory is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how hard it may seem. It doesn't matter what we need. It's in Him that we can find it. It's in Him that we're made complete. Because the very fullness of all that we know and understand is in Him. This is what I believe Jesus is trying to say. Dear ones, we need to come to Him just like a child. All right, just like a baby. And when in our growth, when in our growth in God do we ever become an adult? When do we ever get rid of the innocency that Christ has given us when He washed us clean of the blood? You shaking your head? No, Brother Wilson. I believe that's true. I believe that He wants us innocent from the moment that He cleanses to the moment He takes us home. He wants us to hold on to that innocency and that purity. That's the people that He has called to be His, that worship Him. Clean and pure, without spot and without blemish. Just like a little child. You ever thought of yourself as a little child? I do. Every time I need the Lord, I know just how little and just how much I need Him. Oh, thank the Lord. To be like a little child. 59 years old and still a little child. My children from time to time call me a crybaby. They do that because my heart has been made soft and I cry now so easily. It just comes and the tears roll. There was a time in my life I couldn't cry. You see, I was raised in a family where boys don't cry. Girls cry, but boys don't cry. You toughen up. Don't rub it. You're a sissy. You know, those sort of things. So I didn't know how to cry. Couldn't do it very well. until the Lord got a hold of my heart. And now my children call me a crybaby. It's okay. Oh, it feels good to cry. Got a burden upon my heart, something heavy, and take it to the Lord and cry to Him, and the tears flow. And He blesses me, blesses my heart, hears my cry, and answers my prayers. And that's the God that I serve. And that's the one that says to come to Him just like a little child. That's what it's going to take. We can't come to Him with pride. We can't come to Him thinking that we're self-sufficient. And that's the message we have this morning. It just goes right along with these scriptures. As a little child, verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. It doesn't give us any excuses, does it? May the Lord help us. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and the 1st verse, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as a dear child. Who's he talking to? Who did this letter go to? It went to the adults. It went to the saints of God in Ephesus. And then he told them to share this letter with the rest of the churches throughout all of Asia and all of Europe and wherever they may be found. Dear ones, we're to follow God as dear children. Like I said, when are we ever supposed to grow up? Oh, we mature in the Lord. There's no doubt about it. And we become strong and we stand as men, it says. But before God, we're just children. Because we know that our need is so great and we can't do anything without Him. May the Lord help us. I got an opportunity here. A year or so ago, visiting my brother down in South Carolina. And he wanted to take us and show us around, so he took some of us to Charleston, and we went to a plantation. It's a pretty famous plantation. They used to grow rice there, and they had slaves there on that plantation. And took us out and showed us the big home that the owners lived in. I don't remember the name of the plantation. I don't remember that big home, the owner. It didn't matter to me. Because after we left that big, beautiful home, began to look at the grounds, then I became interested. We seen how the slaves dug miles and miles of ditches, 4 feet deep, 4 feet wide, and they were perfectly formed, and they were still perfectly formed today, where they took the water from the high ponds down to the low ponds and transferred as they were growing that rice. And then they took us to the slave quarters. I got to walk into the slave quarters and see what they lived in. How they lived and the things, the utensils. They had the old pots and different things that they used there. That's when my interest was aroused. And then they took us to this little place where it was an office. And next to the office, there was a schoolhouse. And that schoolhouse was for the slave children. You see, it was against the law for the black children to go to school in those years. They didn't want them educated. But the owner fell in love with them. He called them his little black roses. And he built them a schoolhouse. And he taught them himself reading, writing, and arithmetic. And that touched my heart and brought a tear to my eye. I thought, here was a man that was forward thinking. You know, the Bible says the saint should have a vision. I believe this man had a vision that he knew that these children would someday be set free. God was not going to allow slavery to continue. So he took his own life. His own life he put on the line to teach these children those simple things that they were going to need to be men and women out into the world. Think of that. If he'd have been caught, he could have been killed. And his plantation given to another. But he loved these children. Just as God loves you and I. Loved them. And he taught them. I got back to Holly Hill. And I was talking to some of the saints there. And I told them of my experience there. Seeing the slave quarters and all that the slaves had gone through. And two of the sisters said, "You see that little building right there?" And I said, "Yes." And they use it to keep the saints whenever they have their camp meetings. It's been divided into rooms. They told me that's where our mother and father went to school. I said, "Really?" They said, "Yes, see, we're Indians. And Indians weren't allowed to go to public school." And they began to share with me the things that the American Indian went through. I had no idea. In many cases, the American Indians suffered far worse than the blacks. They were kept under. I remember reading a story of an Ishii tribe out of California where the cowboys had herded all these this whole tribe of Indians into a corral. Then they got up on the corral fence and took out their six shooters and began to shoot them one at a time. Men, women, and children. They were an unwarring tribe. They didn't believe in fighting and killing humans. Who were the advanced ones there? It seems as though the Indians were far advanced. But yet they were the ones being slaughtered. I have to wonder about these things. How evil can man become when he knows not God? Dear ones, if we're not careful, we'll open doors to Satan that we don't want to open. We look at our past. I see these young men riding motorcycles here in America, and they have on the old German war helmets. You know what I'm talking about? The war helmets? That's a sign of rebellion. You won't find that helmet in Germany. Maybe in a museum, but when you talk about World War II and what the Nazis did to the Jews and to different ones, the German people are ashamed today. You don't go over to Germany and flash a swastika, but you do here in the United States. Our young men and women like to wear them as tattoos and on their shirts. It's just a sign of rebellion. But dear ones, what does it do? It opens up doors. It opens up doors to Satan to begin to deal with our minds. May the Lord help us. Now I've lost my page here. Turn with me please to Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts, the 10th chapter and the 34th verse. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." Peter had an enlightening. Peter had a revelation from God. He understood that when God sent him to Cornelius, when he let down that sheet and he said, "Rise, slay and eat," he said, "No, Lord, nothing unclean or common has touched these lips." What did God tell him? He said, "What God has cleansed, call not thou common. Call not thou common." Can we look at any man or woman that's born upon the face of this earth and think that there's something different about them because of the color of their skin or the language they speak, the family that they were born from? They're all still born in the image of God. They're His dear children, are they not? Saved or unsaved, they still belong to Him. How can I and you look at such as one and say they're common? I can't touch them. I won't go into them. I won't let them get in my presence because they're unclean, because they're common. May the Lord help us. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. The key here is to fear God and to work righteousness. When a man tells me that he knows and loves God, but he lives an unrighteous life, I know he's a liar and the truth is not in him. James, the 2nd chapter. James, the 2nd chapter, the 1st verse. My brethren, have not the faith for our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Do I need to go on? God is no respecter of persons. And you as I, as the chosen children of God, as saints' children, are to be no respecter of persons. Who did Jesus come down here to save? The lost. The sinner. The vile. Those that had no power within themselves to do right. He came to give them what they needed. He came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Acts, the 15th chapter. Acts, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse. And when there was had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word, the gospel, and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. No difference. No difference. A sister recently asked, some of us were gathered around a table, and she said, how did it go? She said, is there any... when you divide by races, prejudice, what's another word when you divide? Is there any... that's it. Is there going to be segregation in heaven? There was a resounding no from everybody at the table. There'll be no segregation in heaven. Is there any segregation here on earth? Is there any segregation in the kingdom of God here on earth? There better not be. May the Lord help us. You know, the founder, or one of the founders of this movement, D.S. Warner, wrote the song, Who Will Suffer With the Savior. Michael Smith told me that he wrote that song from a bed of affliction. Because during a meeting, the black sat on one side and the white sat on another, and there was a rope right down the middle. And he went over and he cut that rope. Because there shouldn't be any division in the church of God. God is no respecter of persons. Not now and not ever. And when he left the meeting, there was a mob waiting for him. And they beat him up real bad. He paid a price for that. And dear ones, you and I may have to pay a price too. But I believe the will of God is that he is no respecter, and we're to be no respecter also. I want to read one more verse. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? You know, that racism, that's a terrible yoke. That's not the yoke the Lord wants us to have around our necks, or in our minds, or in our hearts. That's not a yoke we can bear. Our forefathers couldn't bear it. Look at the problems that it caused. I'm glad that it's been set right. But more than that, I'm glad my heart has been set right. My mind has been set right. My soul has been healed. And I can know that I must love everyone. God told me not long ago. Well, let me back up. I came to this altar, I think 1 or 2 years ago. I had a need in my heart. Minister came to deal with me. And I told him I feel very inadequate to preach and teach to the saints. I'm afraid to go to the altar and deal with souls because The responsibility is so great. It is so great. A soul. And I need God to help me. That brother leaned in close, put his head against my head. And he told me, he said, "Brother, you can't hurt the people of God. You've got to be gentle and you've got to be kind." And I told him that the Lord showed me some time ago that I don't have the right to hurt his people. And I thought at that time, I thought, that's the saints. I don't have the right to hurt the saints. And I thought about it for a while. And the Lord let me know when he talks about his people, I don't have the right to hurt anyone. We don't have the right to hurt anyone. If I give a drink of water to a little child in the name of Christ, what little child is that child saved? We're all to be his children in the eyes of God. May the Lord help us. Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Every man, woman, child born upon this earth is in the image of God. They may have defiled that image, but still it's a child in the image of God. When you really think about that, you think of the responsibility that is laid upon us as the saints of God and what he has called us to be. He first called us to be saints, holy and pure, without spot and without blemish, because that's what it says his church is going to be. And then he called us to be ambassadors of Christ. To have the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ. To take on that divine nature of Christ. And that's quite a tall order. But we can do that if we'll humble ourselves down and ask God to make that transitional change in our heart, mind, and soul. And then he called us to be a soldier in the army of the living God. He said, "He that's called a soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life." Dear ones, what are you and I called to do? What are we called to be? The children of God in the army of the living God. And to not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. May the Lord help us. Too close to the world. Too close to the world. Too close to what the world is offering. Too close and loving those things and grabbing for those things. And the Lord says, hands off. Hands off. He's got something so much better. So much better. But to realize that every child born upon this earth was created in the image of God, we'd better be careful what we do. Galatians 3 and 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Does that leave anybody out? That includes everyone. Praise God that this salvation experience has been extended to every child that's born upon the face of this earth. A wonderful thing. And he called for you and I to take it to the world. May the Lord help us. Yes. Neither Jew nor Greek. Neither born of Jewish blood or any other blood. Amen. Neither bond nor free. A slave or free man. Back when this was written, there were slaves. We look back at how they looked upon people. The Romans, which ruled the known world at that time, looked upon women and children as something that they could just use. I've read a story where One woman was on her 28th marriage. And the one that she was marrying, the man, was on his 21st. They just traded partners like it meant nothing. And the Greeks had the philosophy or the idea that women and children for man's pleasure. And that's all they were. They were just for the pleasure of man. And the Jews, they looked at women and children as ownership. They could sell them. If they got into financial trouble, made some deals and couldn't pay it back, oftentimes they would take a son or a daughter, maybe the whole family, as slaves, depending on the size of the debt. But when Jesus came, He changed all that. He said, here there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, neither male nor female. We don't look at the saints of God as male or female. Oh yes, we have brothers and sisters and we hold them in their place and with honor. But when the Spirit moves upon a male or female, we're looking at the Spirit. Not at the vessel, but at the Spirit. If God chooses to use a sister, that's what we show honor to. Or a brother. Do we look at age? Age doesn't matter, does it? Bible says they'll be led by a child. Coming back to that childlike. To be children of God. Following God as dear children. May the Lord help us. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. I want to start the 29th verse. I might have it written down here. Matthew 22 and 29. That's not what I want. Let's see. Oh, well, let's go to Matthew 6 and 10. I'm sorry. They had come to Jesus. And they asked Him to teach them to pray. And He taught them, He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. The 9th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Back to that question, is there any segregation in heaven? Jesus is telling them to pray that just like it's in heaven, that's the way we want it to be on earth. If there's no racism and no prejudice and no segregation in heaven, it shouldn't be here in the kingdom of His dear Son. Dear ones, that's one of those subjects that should never be named amongst the saints, not once, because our hearts and our minds have been made pure and been made right by the blood of Jesus Christ. To be here on earth, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Just like in heaven, to be done here on earth. May the Lord help us. That in itself is a tall order. I can't see the angels arguing. Can you? How often does Jesus or God have to discipline an angel? I don't think it happens very often. I don't think it happens at all. He tells them to go here, go there, and they do it. Do we? When God deals with us, do we? Are we willing to take the Word of God and live with it? They say the true character of a man is what he does when no one's watching. What he does when no one's watching, that's really what's in his heart and what's in his mind. May the Lord help us not to put on any airs, but to be Christ-like. That ambassador, that saint, that soldier of the Most High God, May the Lord help us. John, the 10th chapter. John, the 10th chapter and the 14th verse. I am the good shepherd and knoweth my sheep and is known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, when we were singing that song, that 408, and Brother Wilson asked, what went through our minds when we were singing that song? Well, what went through my mind? Lord, have I really given you my all? Am I holding anything back? Well, if I am, take it away. Because I don't want it there. I want to do your will no matter what it is. Any time, any place, anywhere. And I'm willing to be a fool if that's what it takes. I'm willing to be a fool for you because you died for me. You died for me. I owe him everything. Dear ones, we owe him everything. 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. When we love God and keep his commandments. See, I told you, when a man tells me that he knows the Lord, been saved, and he lives contrary to the commandments of God, I know he's a liar. The world wants to tell me, oh, can't judge. Can't judge. But when I look into the Word of God, it tells me to judge. To judge by the same judgment that God judges me. And he called me to live a holy and a righteous life. And he calls all that are going to love him and serve him to live a righteous and a holy life. That's what the Bible teaches. And when I look into their life and I see fruit that is not righteous and is not holy, and they tell me that they love God, but they hate their brother because of the color of her skin. Dear ones, that's not of God. That's not of God. May the Lord help us. Chapter 1 John 3 and 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, who's the brethren? All those that are saved. Doesn't make a distinction on the language they speak, the country they came from. If you love the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, I never called that man a murderer. But John seems to have the boldness to be able to do it. Can I have that same boldness? If a man says he loves God, but he hates his brother because of the color of his skin, he's a murderer. Isn't that what it says here? And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You're not saved. You can't carry hatred in your heart and be saved. Now, you might get saved and not know you have hatred in your heart, and God will give you a space to come to a place till you learn that and come to him and say, God, I need deliverance. Yeah. Amen. But I'll tell you, it'll come. Yeah. He'll bring every one of us to that place. When I got saved, I had things on hand that I had no idea were sinful. I remember dealing with one young man. He came to the... And I was dealing with him, I believe, was at the altar. And he told me, he said, brother, when I got saved, the only thing that I knew was a sin was having sex out of marriage and stealing, I think he told me. He said, but I got saved and kept on doing drugs. Because I didn't know it was wrong. But it didn't take God long to bring me to that point where he began to understand, this is unacceptable. So can it happen? Yes. He that knoweth do good and doeth not, to him it's sin. There's a knowing in here. There's a reasonable in here. We use our mind and our hearts to come to God and know what his will is concerning us. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are we willing to die? You say, yes, I'll get in front of the army and I'll take the first arrow. But all he says is, well, just give up the world. Just die to the world, that's all. Go on living in that old body, but just give up the world. Give up your hatred. Give up your prejudice and your foregone conclusions and your ulterior motives and anything else that is unpleasing to God. Are you willing to die that death? May the Lord help us to lay down our lives for the brethren. It talks about esteeming one another better than ourselves. If we esteem every man better than ourselves, put everybody before ourselves, dear ones, there's love in that. There's love in that. May the Lord help us. Fourth chapter. Fourth chapter and the seventh verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. If you don't have love, you don't have God. Is that simple enough? Because God is love. If you've got God, you've got love. I remember stopping a friend from mine. He got up from the altar and started heading back down. I stepped right in front of him. Put my arms around. He said, Buzzy, how is it with your soul? He said, I don't know, but I know I love everybody. That's what God did for him. He filled his heart with love. He got up from that altar a blessed man, and everything and every bit of hatred and malice was gone. He said, God, just fill me with love, and right now I love everybody. That's God. And that's what God will do. Beloved, let us love one another with a love. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What's the word ought mean here? The word ought, what's it mean? Duty bound, require. This is what God is requiring of us. We have what?
We have a debt, an obligation.
And that obligation is what, Brother Wilson?
To love.
To love. To love and to die to those things that aren't love. To put it behind us. To get it out of our life. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. Perfected. It's not perfect that first day. But it grows. And becomes more perfected each day. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we know Jesus, we know God. Whereby know we that we dwell in him. And he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Dear ones, we can have boldness here too.
Yes,
Because the love of God dwelleth in our hearts. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Well, here it is. I was right. If a man say he loved God, but hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. May the Lord help us. Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts, the 17th chapter and the 26th verse. And hath made of one blood all nations of men. Isn't that something? Made of all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and to determine the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, and hath made of one blood all nations. Isn't that something? Isn't that beautiful? God is no respecter of persons. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 13th verse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's, dear ones, that's all men. This is for all men, born wherever, whatever nation, creed, color, DNA, it matters not. 18th verse. But now have God sent the members, every one in the body, it has pleased Him. Amen. God has done this. He has saved my black brother, yes, my yellow sister, the red man, and whatever other colors there are, it matters not. This salvation is for everyone. And we're to love everyone. May the Lord help us. I hope this has blessed your souls. It blessed mine when He gave it to me. If anybody has not got the victory in their hearts over prejudice or racism or anything, there's an altar right here. And there's someone that can pray with you. May the Lord help us. You pray for me.